Like to call to order the regularly scheduled meeting of the Madison Plains Board of Education. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Here.
Mrs. Zinikas?
Here.
Ms. Reinchild?
Here.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Here.
Mr. Yenzel?
Here.
Mr. Eisler and I are also here.
Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
And Mr. President, we do have a student here to lead us this evening. Ms. Emma Weddington will lead us in the pledge. Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now we'll move to public communication, our first session. Let's see if anybody's signed up. So we'll move to section C, student recognition.
And Mr. President, we have our Rotary Student of the Month with us tonight. So if I could, if Ms. Emma Weddington would please come to the podium, we would be happy to recognize her. So Emma is the Student of the Month this month for the London Rotary Club from Madison Plains High School. She will be recognized Thursday at the Rotary Club luncheon. And so an article is being sent to the Madison Messenger, and that I am hopeful will be in the paper this coming weekend. So then, as I said, she'll be celebrated this Thursday at the luncheon. And so I would like to read a little bit about Emma and her accomplishments. It is quite an impressive record that she has built in her time at Madison Plains High School. The London Rotary Club is pleased to honor senior student Emma Weddington as a Student of the Month from Madison Plains High School for the month of September. Students are selected by the MPHS administration based upon the following criteria: academic and extracurricular achievement and positive character. Emma has a 4.353 grade point average, ranking her first in her class. Her favorite course is calculus. That is a claim I could never make. I also have never been able to claim a 4.353 grade point average. Well done. Emma has been a member of the soccer team for 4 years, where she served as a captain for 3 years. Emma also ran cross country for 1 year. She has been a part of French Club for 2 years and has served as its president for 1 year. She has been on student council for 4 years, serving 1 year as vice president, and Emma has also served as a class officer for 2 years. Wow. Emma was asked which Madison Plains staff member inspires her, and she said her French and business teacher, Ms. Beatrice Omuomo. And Emma stated about Ms. Omuomo, Mrs. Omuomo is always positive and pushes me to do better every day in her class. Regarding Emma, Mrs. Omuomo said, I've had the pleasure of teaching Emma Weddington French for 4 years and finance foundations for a semester. From the first day until now, Emma impresses me with her focus, her genuine curiosity about the information presented to her, and her thirst for knowledge. Although Emma realizes that getting the best grades is important for her academic success, she prioritizes her quest for learning. She shines in class because she is dedicated, disciplined, and determined to do the hard work. She asks pertinent questions and engages in high-level class discussions. Emma inspires me with her respect, caring nature, openness to and empathy for the opinions and perspectives of others. Ultimately, Emma is an exemplary student in her own right. After graduation, Emma plans to attend a university and earn a bachelor's degree in international business and obtain a master's degree in ecology. Emma is the daughter of Mrs. Jenny Weddington, and I know that Mr. and Mrs. Hamilton, two of our teachers, play a very important role in her life as well. So we'll give them a shout out while we're here too. So, but Emma, we want to say congratulations to you, and I have a certificate for you on behalf of the board and the administration. So congratulations and well done. We're very proud of you.
All right, and we'll move to section D, employee recognition.
And unfortunately, Mr. President, the two employees that I'm recognizing this evening are not able to be here. But I would like to recognize publicly two of our bus drivers who have been kind of going above and beyond as we have been dealing with these struggles that we have been having. Ms. Dorothy Cricket Holiday and then Ms. Dawn Liff have both been helping us quite a bit with transportation. They have both volunteered to go out and run double routes and do things that they need to do to help get students here to school, and have just been very, very appreciative of that. As I said, unfortunately, they're not able to join us this evening, but we have some certificates for them, so I will see that they get those. But thank you to Ms. Holiday and Ms. Liff. We certainly appreciate everything that they do.
Thank you. Now move to Section E, Board Work Session. So I guess just kind of touching off what you were just talking about, I know we've discussed in the past ways to try to get additional bus drivers. That's been an ongoing challenge for us. But I think it's time we regroup and kind of look at that again. So I'd like to see potentially next month kind of a game plan of what we're trying to do, if it's more pay or whatever that looks like, what we need to do. Because obviously we're doing our best, but it's frustrating for the families when they don't, you know, we can't fill all of our routes and those type of things. So if we could kind of refocus in on that, I think that'd be a good thing for us. Additionally, very positive note, I know we're starting to get the information related to the state grade card, and I believe next month we'll get a deep dive explanation from Karen as far as exactly what it entails, but at least the initial information is that the way the state rated schools this year, they did a star system,
right,
and we had the most stars of any school in the county.
Correct.
I'm open to hearing the rest of it, get the full deep dive into all that it entails. But that is a very good thing that we're very proud of, our entire staff, you know, everybody. You know, that's a win for Madison Plains that we want to keep growing on and keep building on. So I think also next month, in addition to kind of a further explanation as far as the positives and the things that we can continue to improve on, if we can think of ways to get this out there, to get this information out to our taxpayers and the general public in Madison Plains, to talk about the good things that we have. Emma's a great example. She represents the best that there is in Madison Plains. You know, that's the kind of things we want to push out there. And if our staff's doing good things and our students are doing good things, we want people to hear about it. So I ask it, how can we publicly get that out there in a way that's effective that people are aware of the successes that we're having?
Yeah.
So, absolutely.
Anything else?
No. Thank you.
All right, so now we'll move to Section F, Approval of Board Minutes.
Mr. President, I make the motion that the minutes of August 16, 2022 meeting be approved as written.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Stonerock?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschel?
Yes.
Mr. Yensel?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Move to Section G, Department Reports.
And Mr. President, we have Mr. Brian Garrett with us this evening. And I don't want to take away any thunder from Mr. Garrett, but at this time, I also like to mention that our student of the month is free and her family are free to leave. So thank you for coming tonight. We certainly do appreciate it. But Mr. President, Madam Vice President, members of the board, Mr. Garrett is our supervisor for the Custodial Maintenance and Facilities and Grounds Department. And I have asked him this month if he would please come and share a little bit of an update with us about what is happening in his department. And so, Mr. Garrett, the floor is yours, and thank you for being here, sir.
Thank you. Good evening. I've been asked by Mr. Eisler to give you guys an update for this past summer's projects and some of the progress regarding the maintenance of the facility, the grounds.
Go. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah. To give you some progress, our progress from the maintenance department,
and also the facility grounds, as well as the custodial departments. Folks, first I wanted to start off by thanking my team, Herbie Bowser, Pete Sullivan, Jerry Lewis, Parrish Bonnet, Darian Pollard, and Josh Zimmerman. They were able to finish their regular summer cleaning of the buildings a little earlier this year, which allowed them to do some extra projects, like painting all the exterior doors at the field house and the 4-6 building. A big reason for their ability to take on the extra projects was the summer casual labor that we had this year. So I wanted to special thanks to Blaine Williams, Lucas Stevenson, and Shane Cahill. I can't say enough about these guys. They were some of the best, if not the best, summer help that I've had in my 12, 13 years here. So a big shout out to all three of those men. Some of the larger projects that were outsourced this year, we had both home and away bleachers power washed and cleaned this summer at the football stadium. The soccer net barriers, the soccer field were completed. We purchased outdoor trash cans to be placed around the district football stadium, both sides of campus. We had our main hot water tank out of the field house went out. So we had a new commercial hot water heater installed in the field house. Weight room door was replaced on the field house side, and we changed that over to a roll-up door to allow the weight classes to move in and out equipment with a little bit more ease. We had upgrades to our fire system, installed they called StarLink, which basically is a cell auto dialer to both buildings in case of a complete power failure. It allows us to still call out in case of a fire emergency. So some of the aeration lines at the sewer plant was upgraded and replaced. The line from the plant to the filter beds itself was repaired early in the summer. The diverter box was replaced at the wastewater plant as well. We had three of the four of the pressure tanks replaced out at the high school that serve the drinking water to the entire building there at the high school. Our satellite tolls classroom, we had retrofitted LED interior classroom lights. We also painted that room as well. It was used for storage area pre this year. Most of their gravel access roads were re-graveled around the district. We purchased locks for around 700 locks for the high school for this year. One of the back doors of the high school needed to be replaced. We were lucky enough just to get that installed, I think, last Friday. We purchased a second storage freight box. We had the high school bleachers, they were worked on and serviced. And we had numerous HVAC repairs to all four buildings this summer, along with our freezers in both kitchens. Some of the larger cost projects that were completed, we had the sand and at the filtration system end of the wastewater taken out, disposed of properly, and replaced. The high school parking lot was seal coated, along with portions of it being built and replaced. And just recently, we had a main sewer line issue at the back of the 712 that caused us to make major repairs. So these projects, most of which are necessities due to break fixes, the project cost listed above are upwards of $100,000. And the reason I point this out, I'd be remiss not to point out that 90% of this comes from permanent improvement. So I know a lot of times when we talk about what does a permanent improvement pay for, you know, and we say parking lots or roofs, it's a lot more than that. So as you can see, most of these things I've listed, they're imperative to keep the school running. So I just wanted to point that out. The next thing I wanted to thank Kevin Daniels, Terry Curry. Both of these men worked on the maintenance and ground side of things this summer. I consider these guys to be my right hand on a lot of the day-to-day projects. I couldn't do it without them. I mean that. They were tasked with a lot of time coming in and doing the prep work before a lot of the bigger projects to prep that area for a lot of the stuff that we had done, that we had outside people coming in and doing. Some of the projects they completed, other than their normal lawn care duties and just general preventative maintenance for HVAC work, we had several classrooms repainted. We had both freight boxes that we purchased repainted along with the shed. The fencing was replaced in the area where the old maintenance barn was at. The main gate to the bus compound was repaired. We took down all smart boards out of three of the four of the buildings with the purchase of the new Ben Q boards that came in. The courtyard, 4-6, was power washed and repainted. Most of our storage areas were consolidated into the freight boxes that we purchased. We repainted the girls' high school back restrooms. We added partition walls to the storage area at the cafeteria. We remodeled the old technology storage area in the district office and turned it into an actual office. We made repairs to the ED room that some of the walls were damaged in there. And finally, we prepped the playground area for the new equipment. So, side note on the playground, I know Mr. Eisler has been updating the board throughout the summer on the playground. Our hopes were that it was to be completed before school started, or at least that's what we were promised. I followed up weekly since we've kind of passed that date. The delays due to the manufacturer having shipping issues for the raw materials to build the structure. The company we're using is the installer in the process. I talked to them, I think, last Friday. They were told that the manufacturer, that we should expect delivery hopefully this week. That's the first time they've given us a hard date of this week, so I'm hoping that that it comes in. I know it's been a long process. There's no one here other than maybe the kids that wants to see this happen. A side note, I want to again thank everyone for allowing me to do that to begin with. It's kind of been a passion project the past couple of years to get that done. So, in closing, again, I just want to thank my entire team and for all their hard work this summer. And it never goes unnoticed. And I just want to say thanks for everything they do. So.
Mr. Garrett, thank you for your report this evening. We certainly do appreciate it. We appreciate you as well. I know your team works hard, but I know you do also. And just want to say thank you to you for all of your hard work and your dedication to our district. And thank you for your report this evening.
Now move to Section H, Superintendent's Committee Reports.
Mr. President, I have a couple of committees that I would like to update the board on. The first of which is our Facilities Advisory Committee. That group has, since our last meeting, they met on Tuesday, August 23rd and Thursday, September 15th. The committee met and received a tour and overview of both the K-6 building and the 712 building on respective evenings. That tour was led largely by Mr. Garrett, along with building level administrators. An overview was also given about the educational visioning discussion that occurred with staff at the beginning of the school year. Discussions have occurred around whether or not to pursue the possible partnership with the Ohio Facilities Construction Commission, also known as the OFCC. And at the last meeting, participants did vote to begin looking into that. We're not making a commitment, but we did vote to begin looking into that possibility. The OFCC could potentially help to fund a project potentially in the 9% range. There's a possibility that that could change, but and increase maybe a little bit, but none of that is official at this point in time. But we're looking at approximately right now, potentially about a 9% what's the word I'm looking for?
And
what is it?
Co-funding.
Thank you. From the OFCC. The one thing that I will say is that if we were to make the decision that we wanted to go with the OFCC, that might slow us down just a little bit in terms of when we might be able to bring this forward. So we will see. We're starting to look into those matters. Our next meeting is Thursday. Our next scheduled meeting is Thursday, October 6th in the K-6 cafeteria. And I believe that meeting is scheduled for 7 o'clock in the evening as well. So be looking for some updates on that. Hoping to get another meeting or two scheduled, maybe a site visit to one of the new builds in the area. but I will keep the board updated on where we stand with that. The other committee that I would like to report out on was, or is our Academic Advisory, or DLT. That group met yesterday afternoon. The committee met and began going through the newly released report card data. There is a lot of data to look at there, but we have begun discussions of that. And just to echo what you said, Mr. Mason, at the beginning of the meeting, we are very proud of our staff for the results that we have earned on the report card this year. To earn 18 out of 25 possible stars, and to have that be the highest total of anyone, of any traditional K-12 district in the county, I say traditional K-12, we have a career center that is not included in that, but very, very pleased to have been able to earn the most amount of stars in the county. So overall, things are going well. As I've said to our staff, I know that we are still facing some challenges that lots of other districts are facing here at the start of the school year, but there are an awful lot of good things happening here within the Madison Plains Local School District, and so very, very pleased. The other thing that we started to look at, or not started to look at, but revisited and continue to have some conversations about, are our Madison Plains Improvement Plan. That is the plan that we developed over the course of the spring last year. We have four goals, and then we have action steps accompanying each goal. And so part of the meeting yesterday was spent, after we had looked at some of the report card data, talking about what the action steps are and what are the next steps and when in terms of achieving those goals. So forgive me, I have a frog in my throat. But that pretty much concludes my Academic Advisory DLT report. Anyways, our next meeting is Monday, October 17th.
Now move to Section I, Treasurer's Report.
Thank you, Mr. Mason. Fairly brief report. I will point out a couple things. We do have our reconciliation that we ended the month of August with $7.5 million. So that's largely due to us collecting the taxes differently than what we had previously. Also, the income tax has come in higher than what we had anticipated by, you know, around $900,000 on our, not higher, but it came in at around $900,000 on our first quarterly payment that we received. We were expecting last year at this time, I think we received around $750,000. So those are coming in better than expected. This is the second month for our new monthly financial reports that we have. So if we we're able to take a look at that. If not, it will be part of board agenda. You can go back and take a look at it, and we'll also have these posted at some point here on my website, the other monthly financial reports. So this is for the month of August. You see we have four parts: revenue expenditure analysis through August, the monthly revenue analysis for August, the fiscal year revenue analysis for July and August, and then the fiscal year monthly expenditure analysis for August, and the expenditure analysis through August. So you have 1 month, and then you have the, at this point in time, through both months. So you'll see that go next month. It'll say July through September, and then July through October, and so on and so forth. This is our fiscal year 2023 revenue and expenditure analysis through August. You see our current year-to-date revenue collections indicated $281,379 favorable compared to the forecast. That's a favorable, I guess, variance or overestimate. But we have a $363,426 unfavorable variance for our expenditures, leaving us with a potential net impact of $82,047 for our year-end cash balance. So on a $16 million budget to be within $82,000 right now, based on our spring forecast, not our updated November forecast that will be coming here in November, that's really good. Also considering the fact that they look at the estimates based on, and the trend data, based on last year when we were still receiving some open enrollment payments in and out. So you'll see that the biggest differences are the purchase services and the other revenue for our open enrollment in and out that's no longer there. Right now, our current monthly cash flow estimates a June 30th, 2023 cash balance of $4,884,933 at the end of the year. That would be an operating surplus of $553,510. So that's what we would carry over to the next year. Our revenue analysis, you receive a breakdown here of our, there's taxes, I'm also trying to zoom in here, there we go. You see our local tax taxes and reimbursements, then our state revenue, and then all other revenue. So actual revenue collections for August, $501,525 for local, $424,281 for state, and then $4,499 for all other. For a total revenue collection in August of $930,305. Prior year, it was $974,342, so you see it's down $44,037 from that same August trend data last year. In the notes below, it gives you some detail as to why and what the biggest variances were. Down $44,000, the largest change compared to August of fiscal year 2022 is lower tuition and patron payments. So that's that open enrollment payment. And then you have the July through August and the prior year July through August. The biggest change you'll see here is the local taxes. You saw this last month in July. That's because we didn't receive the advance in June. We received that first local tax payment in July. So that's why it looks like it's $2 million higher compared to this point in time last year. But again, we made that adjustment last year due to not taking advances. So that still will work its way through when you're comparing this year to last year. It just goes on to highlight that the biggest change there is local taxes and revenue coming in at $2.2 million higher compared to the previous year. Following that is tuition and patron payments. Again, that's open enrollment payments. So everything coming in essentially as expected. You know, the variances that are there are the ones that we expect to be there. So then we have the July through August collections. Again, it's up $281,000 at this point in time, at the same point in time last year. It gives you a little more details. This is a fiscal year 17% complete. We have two actual months and 10 estimated months of revenue. So when you take all that into consideration, we're $281,000 more based on the actuals and the projected than the current forecast. So that's based on the May forecast. We're trending $281,000 better for fiscal year 2023. Over there in the gray, that's the forecast total, $14,136,000. And over here is the actual plus the estimate for this year, which is $14,417,000. Then we move on to expenditures. Same format. You see salaries and benefits are our largest expense, followed by purchase services. Actual expenses for the month was up $150,307 compared to last year. A lot of that can be due to timing, but again, we can see what it is. The largest change compared to August of fiscal year 22 was in textbooks accounts. So that was a textbook purchase. For textbook purchases, similar textbook type purchases. Compared to the same period, total expenditures are $104,000 higher than the previous year. Again, that's based on that trend data. It's 4.3% higher than the amount expended last year. The largest difference compared to this August last year is tuition and similar payments are $142,000 less. So not only are we not receiving the open enrollment payments in on the revenue side, we're showing a decrease in the open enrollment payments going out. So that's why when you're comparing this year to last year, we're going to see that probably all year, those tuition payments not, or causing us to be off on those estimates because it's based on prior year data. And then same thing, it shows you compared to the forecast. So the forecast, we had 13,500,492 here in gray, and then with two actual months and 10 estimated months, we showed 13,863,918. So that's an unfavorable, we're up $363,000 when we consider that. All in all, that gives you your $82,000 net impact at the end of the year, which at this point in time in the year, based on the May forecast, is very good, I think. So that'll change when November comes around. We'll have the May or the November forecast presentation in November at the November meeting. So we'll see how these things adjust, because the May forecast didn't have things in them like the school resource officer, for instance, wasn't part of that. Some increased technology costs we've had weren't part of that. So there are some things that will get adjusted. So all in all, not a bad financial report for the month of August, a good ending balance, good trend data. We're about where we expected to be. So, I am working on a dashboard for this. At some point, I can give you a presentation on that, maybe next month, to see how we can get a dashboard of data onto the website so people can see this similar data by going through our website. And it's a little more easy to read, and they can click through it at their leisure and yeah. kind of see that information. So something I'm working on. If you don't have any questions, that will conclude my treasurer's report.
Mr. President, I move that upon recommendation of the Treasurer, the Board approve financial items I, 2, and 3.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Stonerock?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschel?
Yes.
Mr. Yensel?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Just point of clarification there, that was just for I-2, there is no I-3, so. Or it's actually listed twice, it looks like, I-2. No, it should just be I-3. Sorry, the confusion I heard. It's just I-3 that should be approved. The financial statements were the only item I had on the report. Motion carries 5-0.
All right. I'll move to section J, superintendent's report.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a few items here by way of discussion. Just would like to remind the board that the OSBA Capital Conference, the Ohio School Boards Association Capital Conference, is November 13th through the 15th. And it is hard to believe, but November is really kind of right around the corner. As it is September 20th, this will be upon us before we know it. So if any of the board members would have an interest in attending the OSBA Capital Conference, if you could let Mr. Mustine and myself know, we would be happy to get you registered. As I've said before, it is a wonderful conference, probably one of the largest trade shows in education east of the Mississippi, if not in the country. So it's a very good show, a very good conference. So if you would let us know about that. I also wanted to let the board know, normally here in the month of September, sometimes I would do it in the month of August, but I had to report on it at the end of September. We would have to, in years past, we would have to pass a resolution stating that we were opting, per Ohio Department of Education guidelines, that we were opting not to provide our junior high school students with career technical education. Because of our partnership with TOLS that we have put in place and the satellite programming that we have this year at the junior high, we do not need to pass that resolution. And I think that's a good thing. So I wanted to make a note. Didn't think that anyone would think that I had forgotten it, but just if you didn't see it on the agenda, that is why. So we are we're good to go there. The Business Advisory Council report, this is a report that is due also at the end of September to the Ohio Department of Education. Typically the way this works is that the ESC works together with the Business Advisory Council and they write the report. That is allowed in law that the ESC can do that. They partner with us and so they will write that report and we'll get it submitted to the Ohio Department of Education. Once I get a copy of that, I will send that on to you. The report simply outlines what we are doing as a county to work with our business partners throughout the county. So I will pass that along, but that is being taken care of for us by the ESC. I wanted to let you know, back in the spring, I know that we had some conversation around varsity letters, and I believe I'd sent you a photograph. But I wanted to let you know, we have gone through our entire supply of the previous varsity letters that we had. And so one of the things is we were aware of the fact that we were coming up on the end of that supply. We had thought that it would be a good idea for us to update our varsity letter to make it in line with our branding guide and make sure that the colors were correct and that the font was correct. And so this is going to be our new varsity letter. This represents our colors that are approved and the fonts and whatnot. And this is an image that I believe everyone would agree we see around the district on a regular basis. It's been here for years. So this will be our new letter. There is just a little bit of concern that on the smaller jackets, the small and the extra small, there's not a lot of real estate on the chest where the letter typically goes. So we're having some conversation with the company that makes the letter, if maybe they can make a slightly smaller one, maybe one by one less to maintain the proportions for those smaller jackets for folks who choose to get that. But I wanted to let the board know that this is how we're going to move forward. So very pleased with that. And the last thing, just in terms of discussion items, I had attached the tolls report to the agenda for this evening. I think the one thing, if I could draw attention to one thing in that report and then drawing on a meeting that I was at today, their student enrollment is really up at tolls. They are doing and it's up around the state, frankly, for career technical education. Not sure if that is a result of the pandemic. It may well be. But also maybe a little bit of a function of the cost of college as well. But I know enrollment is up around the state, and certainly it is up at tolls. That is probably the one thing that I would want to point out about that. That has a little bit of an impact on us in terms of the students that we have here in the building, of course. It really is. It's a wonderful thing that they are seeing that increase, and that so many students are taking advantage of that education. When you look at the data around the nation, only about a third of people have a four-year college degree. That means everybody else is out, busting their tail, some other way. And so, very, very pleased that our kids are accessing that that opportunity. I also want to let you know. I know the dinner that Tolls hosted for board members back in the spring, they're going to host that again this coming spring. There are supposed to be invitations coming out, possibly within the next 30 days, but I think we're looking at a date of April 26th. So I wanted to pass that along to you once I get confirmation, or once the hard copy invitations come out. I'm sure you'll receive that and I can pass that information along, but they are planning that dinner again in the spring, which I think is a wonderful thing. It's a great opportunity to go out and learn more about what they do. So that is all I have for discussion items for this evening.
Thank you. I appreciate you pointing that out about tolls. They're well over 500 first-year students this year, which is its all-time high. So a lot of good things going on at tolls, a lot of opportunities for Madison Plains students. So I'm a big proponent of tolls and what it does for our students. All right. So next we'll go to Section K, Policy and Governance.
Mr. President, nothing in that section this evening.
Section L, Business.
Just a number of relatively routine items there for the board to approve tonight. We've got a couple of agreements from a business perspective. Authorization to send our FFA students to national convention. And then a resolution to make a little bit of a revision to the academic calendar for the year.
Mr. President, I make the motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve business items L2 through L6.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Enigas?
Yes.
Mr. Stenderup?
Yes.
Ms. Reinchel?
Yes.
Mr. Yenzel?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Move to Section M, Personnel.
And Mr. President, again, a number of relatively routine items there for you this evening. Approval of substitute rates, so that is on the board agenda this evening. Some resignations that are there, and then awarding the supplemental contracts. And then a couple of, and employing a substitute bus driver. That is something that we're very happy about. Mr. McClellan has been driving for us. He is a former MP driver, so happy to have him back. And then, unfortunately, the resignation of a bus driver as well, so.
Mr. President, I make the motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve personnel items M2 through M10.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Stonerup?
Yes.
Mr. Yenzel?
Yes.
Ms. Reinchel?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Doesn't look like there's anything in Section N, donations. Any new business? Section N. All right. The second public communication. Anybody have anything to say? So now we'll move to Section Q, the executive session. I move that we enter into executive session at 7:40 for the purpose of the following items allowed under the Ohio Revised Code. Section 1, to consider the employment and compensation of a public employee or official in the investigation of charges or complaints against a public employee or licensee pursuant to Ohio Revised Code, Section 121.22G1.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Stonerup?
Yes.
Mr. Yenzel?
Yes.
Ms. Reinchel?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Executive session.
Our next regularly scheduled meeting is Tuesday, October 18th at 7 p.m. here in the district meeting room. There'll be no action taken after the executive session.